and welcome back to Where Leaders Connect, a Corporate Connections podcast, where every week we sit down with one of the incredible men and women that make up our membership and explore a little bit about what makes them unique and what drives them and their business choices. My name is Trevor Botkin. I'm the National Director of Corporate Connections Canada. And today I'm joined by my business partner and co-host, Mr. David O'Neill. David, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Trevor. And welcome back to all of our listeners. I have a real pleasure today to introduce Nick Saint-Germain. Nick is president of RESOB. RESOB is a company that was founded in 1991. And today is one of Canada's largest corporate furniture refurbishing companies. They serve banks, insurance companies, and various government bodies. Nick is a fantastic individual. We're really looking forward to getting to know him a little bit more today on the call. As a business leader, as a father, as a husband, and really understanding a little bit more about what makes him tick and some of the things that have influenced his career and his life since joining the business in the year 2000. Nick, thank you for joining us today. Great to have you on the call and looking forward to a fantastic conversation together.
Well, thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here with you guys. It's actually, I would say, almost an honor to be here.
Well, let's wait until the end and ask you your opinion at the end of this. Nick, perhaps to kick us off, tell us a little bit more about your story. As I said to our listeners, I think you joined the company in the year 2000, so just over 20 years ago now. But I'd love to hear a little bit more about your background and your involvement, perhaps on the business side, just to kick us off.
Yeah, well, on the business side, actually, I did start a long time ago as a sales rep from the company. It's something that I always loved, this industry. My father was actually in this business, this industry. And I love his daily routine, which was actually the complete opposite of a daily routine. One day he would meet some clients, the next day he would be on a job site with an architect. And I always loved all the architectural and design. So it was the perfect fit for me. So that's where I aimed to actually be in this industry. And starting as a sales rep, I had a lot of success when I started. And once it was time to sit down and have my yearly bonus check with the success I had, and I actually decided to say, listen, that's not what I want. I actually want to be in this company, knowing that I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. Everybody around me is actually business owners, or most people are. It was surprising for the owner. He didn't think about that. And about a week after, we actually sat down and discussed, and I made it really clear that, listen, I'm here. I actually want to eventually own the business. He was 50 something years old, so it was actually a good thing for him also. We sat down and made it work. So I became an associate about 10 years ago.
Wow, that's incredible, because without giving away your age to some of our listeners, you were pretty young at that point. And I'm curious to understand a little bit more. Apart from the obvious desire to be an entrepreneur, what was your vision at that point as, let's call it, a young person starting off in their 20s in business?
Well, I was actually raised to see that sky's the limit. So I always wanted to be a business owner. I loved the industry I was in. So it was either I start my own company, or I actually get into where I was right now, knowing the business and all. And our business concept is actually something that's really unique, because we would do sustainable development before it actually exists, the term exists. So it was something that I saw the vision of, saying that, okay, this is really the future. Instead of just selling office furniture, it was okay, this remanufacturing concept is really the way to go for 20, 40 years from now. So that's why I was really interested into getting into that specific business.
Yeah, I think that's remarkable that, 20 years ago, you already have, I remember 20 years ago for me, and my life choices were quite a bit different in terms of how I was investing my time or the money I was making. And so I think it's remarkable. But at that same time, you were also starting a family. You were getting married 20 years ago at the same time, and you now have kids. And so how did you balance those two, especially as you now have I guess, teenagers, a 12 and a 14-year-old? How did you balance that growth curve of not just building a business, acquiring a business, and raising a family, and figure out how to do those both concurrently?
I actually made the decision, because it's always decisions we're making, right? I made the decision to say, listen, I was raised with a lot of people around me, and I wanted to offer the same to my kids also. So I made the decision to work just regular business hours like everybody else, even though I owned the business or was an associate. I said, listen, I'm going to spend my evenings and my weekends with my kids. I decided to actually, once they go to bed, then I would get my laptop and catch up. But instead of getting at home at 8 o'clock and the kids are going to bed at 8:30, like, it's not logical for me to actually do both at the same time. So that's something that I actually decided really early, at a young age. And with the kids, well, another way to spend a lot of time with them is to get implicated also. They're sports brats, so they do a lot of sports, a lot of team sports. And since I'm actually going at their practices and their tournaments and their matches, well, might as well like be there. So instead of socializing with the parents, well, I'm actually helping coach like on the court. So it's another way to spend some quality time with them, even though they're busy with their own activities. So,
well, I will not get into discussing what I was doing in my early 20s, because I'm certainly not related to leadership and business like yourself. But what I'm hearing, though, is it is a common thread in terms of you being a visionary in terms of the business and seeing where the world was going, let's say 20 years ago, in terms of that increased focus that we're seeing today on sustainability and eco-responsibility. And same thing on the family side. I mean, fast forward in the middle of the pandemic, 2022, people have learned to manage personal and professional responsibilities. But back in the early 2000s, I don't think that many of us even considered that. So congratulations. I'm curious on the sporting side, as a sportsman myself. I know you play a little bit of hockey. What do you love to do in sports, and what do you love about sports per se?
Well, I actually probably played every team sport you can think about, but yeah, more specifically hockey. I'm a goalie, so I'm used to have like all the pressure on my shoulders, and I think that actually is a good link for the business side also, because when you're a business owner, all the pressure's on you, like you have to be able to deal with that. And as a goalie, it was this same principle where, listen, I would get in the room, I would tell people, listen, guys, I'm going to stop every puck that comes at me, but I still need you guys to score the goals. Like, so I think that actually developed like teamwork in sports, but it's the same thing with your business, where you still need your colleagues to actually help you around with everything. And if you want to go where you want to bring your business, you have to be really well surrounded and have people that are actually going to go score those goals that you need to win. So that's something that I see a real link between sports and actually team sports and business.
That's absolutely beautiful. And so you, and I just want to carry that analogy a little bit further, but so you bought the company when?
I bought the company 30 months ago.
30 months ago.
Officially, yeah. I
so right before the pandemic.
Right before the pandemic, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's been actually interesting. Naturally, all the office buildings are closed or closed during the pandemic. So it was actually something that you need to be solid to live and pass through those hard times. But even in recessions or in this pandemic, it's actually been good for us. And that's something that's really interesting with our business, or more our concept. At the beginning of the pandemic, people would actually close their office space saying, listen, I don't want to pay rent, knowing that my staff is going to be working at home. So we actually purchased like thousands and thousands of workstations that we stock. So for us, it's raw material to use eventually. And when the project pie is a bit smaller, people are looking to save money. So we became like first on top of their list because our concept actually isn't just good for the environment. It actually makes people save money. So that's where we had a lot of success during this pandemic. When there's a recession, it's good for us also because of that.
So I'm curious, Nick, in the context of the pandemic specifically, what have you been doing and how have you been leading your team and leading the employees in the business through what has been a hard time for many of us, both business leaders, but also their families? How have you been approaching this?
Well, the first thing we did was actually we decided not to lay off any people, even though business was actually tough at the beginning, because since there was so many uncertainties, like people would actually wait and see what's going to happen. We actually decided to sit down with our staff and say, listen, instead of having a bunch of layoffs like everybody in our industry is having, let's find a way. I'm a solution oriented guy. So we actually decided to do a quick ship program where we built in advance, like just limited several colors, several sizes, like hundreds and hundreds of workstations in advance, so that we can have everybody keep their job and at the same time be ready when the market's actually going to start back, where we're going to have like hundreds of stations in stock ready to go. Because once people announces, okay, we need to have our staff back at the office and reorganize, well, they want to move fast. And so it's actually a good solution. So we actually invested some money into that, but I think it's a way to retain our employees also. So everybody was probably really glad with that. And we also decided to work on our branding. So that's something that hadn't been done for like 30 years. We actually work with a corporate connection partner member actually, and redid all our positioning and branding of the company. So we invested a lot of time, energy, and money to actually step up and be ready to go when all this ends.
That's amazing. I think it's an incredible vision to be able to say, we're going to invest in our people, we're going to invest in our future, and take kind of a hit on that bottom line, knowing that you're keeping the company going, but also just really taking care of those people who depend on you. Have you seen a shift, or have you seen, like, what's been the response of these employees who used to be your colleagues, you know, when you were just working there and you've been there for 20 years? And so there's a shift now that you're the owner. Has that impacted your relationships with them, or like how has that been as a transition for you?
Well, I think I earned the respect a few years back, where I'm the kind of guy that go that extra mile to actually do a bit more to make the next person's job easier. So it's something that I really focus on, and I think I was likable at that time also, which made it easy. And I really push forward the continuous improvement concept, and I have been also before. So the respect is there. They actually see the vision I have for the company. And also, I've been managing the business for several years, even though I officially own it for like only 30 months. So they actually saw where I'm bringing the company and our concept. And that's something that people actually said, listen, I really believe in. So, and that's actually why we did all those investments during the pandemic. Like, I truly believe in our future, and I'm really a confident guy on that side. So that probably helped everyone say, listen, okay, let's continue. And they followed my vision basically.
What would you say to someone else in a similar situation, Nick? Meaning an individual that would see themselves as having the potential to run and own a successful business like yourselves. What are some of the key things that they need to think about?
That's a hard question, because every relationship is different. I've known someone really close to me that actually did that exact same step that I did, and it didn't go well on his side. It really depends, I think, on the relationship you have. And that's something that before making like the official move, I sat down with the key people and make sure like they're on board. And that's something I would actually suggest, that don't just say, okay, I'm in. Like, you have to have those key players be in with you and follow you. So that's something that's really important to do, and that I would strongly suggest to people doing before making that move.
What's been the biggest surprise for you as you made this transition, the pandemic notwithstanding, but what has been the thing that you least expected that's happened to you as a business owner?
I would say, like, a lot of old employees call me saying, listen, I heard you bought the company, I want to come back. that was a good surprise and a fun surprise. I think a lot of clients actually were glad to see that that the business was actually getting younger. That's actually probably a link with our branding that we redid this year, because visions change. Like, if you just go back 20 years ago, we would go do an installation and people would ask us literally to go park our trucks behind the building. Like, they were, because our trucks were branded, the remanufactured furniture, and they wanted people to think it's new furniture. So they didn't want to be like that cheap boss that buys a refurbished furniture or something. And nowadays, we actually give a certificate to our clients that show how many greenhouse gas emissions savings they do with that specific projects. We plant trees and show that on the certificate also. And now they're actually proud to show that. And most of our clients are actually putting that like at their reception. And it's a way to show their employees that they are doing that extra step to not just recycle paper. Like, they're really going further than that. And probably today, like, to attract and retain employees, business culture or business values is so important that, let's say you're an engineer and you're looking for a job, like, everybody's going to offer the same salaries, the same, and you're really looking at, okay, what's this business culture? What are their values? And doing that, I would say, sustainable or responsible purchasing actually helps them retain or attract new employees. So it's something that completely changed, like, at the beginning of the business and as of today.
It's interesting. Maybe I can ask a question to sort of wrap up our discussion, Nick. We're speaking to a visionary, someone that was very much ahead of the curve in terms of seeing the future for business and seeing where the world is going. We're seeing to someone that was ahead of the curve in terms of managing personal and professional obligations. So I'm really curious, whilst we have you, what does the future hold for Nick? What does the future hold for Reso B?
I think that helping businesses in the workplace wellness, like, that's something we've been hearing more and more throughout this pandemic, that people, it has to be interesting for them to come back at the office. We're actually helping business do that, but by reducing their environment, our environmental footprint also. So it's something that future is going really towards that. Naturally, growth is part of what we're going to do and eventually expand also. So I see a really, really good future for our business. On my side, well, I think I'm able to well balance family and business, and that's something I want to continue doing, however big the business gets or other businesses I get involved in. So that's something I'm still going to continue taking care of. On the business side, naturally, it's to be really well surrounded. So that's the key part. As the business grows, as we get into other businesses, it's really my key is to really continue finding people that are that see the vision I actually want and that are going into that full on.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question, Dave. And Nicholas, the answer surpassed the question. So I think that's fantastic. We're almost out of time. First off, I want to thank you, Nick, for taking the time to join us today. We've known each other for a little while now, as you've been a member here in Montreal. But I learned things today that I didn't know. And my respect for you and admiration for you is through the roof. I did not know that your journey started as early as it did and that. And I think we take for granted sometimes the choices that people make. And sometimes people get lucky and sometimes people just work their butt off for 20 years and they're where they're at. And I think your success today is a real testament to who you are as a human, but also who you are as a business leader. So I want to thank you for being here today.
First of all, thanks very much for having me. It was really interested, and it was an honor to be here with you guys. Thanks for your good words. I really appreciate it, and it was fun to be here.
It's great to have you on, Nick. Thanks for joining us, and for all the listeners, go check out Rezo B. I believe one of the largest corporate furniture manufacturing companies today in Canada, and great things lie ahead. Nick Saint-Germain, thank you very much once again for joining us. Wishing you and all of our listeners a wonderful day wherever you are, and looking forward to reconnecting soon. Happy connecting, everybody.
And this is where leaders connect.